Praise the Lord. Here we are at Watchman School of Prayer. Amen. And we are starting our, let's see, so many sessions, I have to remember the exact number. We are in class number 7. Class number 7, Prayer and the Blood. Prayer and the Blood. And let me tell you, if you're watching on the video and if you're listening on the audio and you're here, this is a power-packed session. This is going to be a very, very important session for your life because the blood of Yeshua is a key in our walk with the Lord. And we have to get a revelation of the blood. So what I want you to do, even right now, as you're watching, as you're sitting here, I want you to release your faith. Nothing happens without faith. And you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to receive a revelation from the Holy Spirit right now on the blood. Amen? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 24. Let's read this verse together. Verse 24. 1, 2, 3, read. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Amen? The blood of Jesus represents the completed work of the Lord Yeshua of Jesus. It is the new covenant or new agreement, New Testament, all the same words there. And this is a scripture I believe that you need to memorize, all right? And this, again, I'm going to write it down here. Hebrews 12:24. You need to know that this blood is alive and it's speaking and it's doing powerful things. Now, every prayer that we pray is heard and answered only because of the finished work of the blood of Jesus. Every time we speak to the Lord, every time we speak to the Father, every time we pray, it has to do with the blood of Jesus. And only through the blood covenant do we have a legal right into God's promises. We don't have a legal right without the blood. It's only because of the blood. Amen? Now the Holy Spirit, as I said before, can give you a revelation of the blood of Yeshua because you can't just get it off of my revelation. You have to get a revelation. Everything that I'm teaching, every class that you have, it's got to become, what is revelation? Rhema. It's got to become life to you. You yourself have to know that this is what God is speaking into your life. Now, we know that it says in the book of Revelations in chapter 12 and verse 11, I'm not going to go there, but it says that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. That's the first thing it says, word of our testimony, we love not our life unto death. So the first way it says that we overcome the enemy, Satan, the demons, is by the blood of Yeshua, the blood of Jesus. That's why it is one of our most important weapons against any kind of attack. Now, religion hates the blood. Religious spirits will say that the blood is not enough. In other words, you have to do everything to go to heaven by works. You have to be this good, you have to do this many things, give this many alms. And what they tell you is a lie. Because the only way you can get into heaven is through the finished work of the blood of Yeshua and what he did on the cross. There is no other way. Now, religion wars against the blood of Jesus. And, of course, here in our territory, we know there's a lot of religion. Where you are, where you're watching or listening, there may be a lot of religion there. And because things are warring in the heavenlies, we're going to learn about this. The blood of Jesus is not taught in many, many congregations and churches. Never even mentioned. It's because religion hates the blood. Now, religion doesn't get to your heart. Religion is a cold, really specifically, if you want to, for me, the way I look at religion is religion makes Jesus, the Word of God, of no effect. We have a relationship with the Lord. We don't have a religion. And it comes through the blood. Now, instead of mercy, which we see it says the blood cried here, it says in Hebrews 12:24, and it says that the blood is speaking, and I'm going to talk a little more about that, but let me just look at the scripture another minute, and let's look at verse 24 again in Hebrews 12. It says, the blood of sprinkling. Now, the word sprinkling here means to scatter, to scatter. That means the blood is scattered. You want to remember that. That's what the root meaning of that is. And then the word speaks, or speaketh, whatever version you have. The word speaks means it has words, utters words. Now, we're going to see, as we get to the end of this session, this class, what those words are that the blood is speaking. So whenever you say, the blood of Jesus covers me, the blood of Jesus covers my children, you have to know what it is that it's doing, and that's what we're going to learn in this class, okay? And it says it's speaking better things than that of Abel. Well, Abel's blood spoke vengeance. Jesus' blood speaks mercy, okay? And we have to realize that. And religion, many times, speaks vengeance. You know, religion gives you condemnation, makes you feel ashamed, makes you feel like, you know, you're not good enough. But Jesus' blood speaks and cries mercy. Now, religion has no life in it. It's dead. And without the blood, there is no life. Religion never speaks of the blood, as I said, and religion is bloodless. The same way that our bodies, my body that I'm in right now, if I didn't have life, if I didn't have the blood flowing through my body, I would be dead. I would not be here and be with the Lord, amen? And my body would be cold. All right, now let's look at a scripture that's very important. Leviticus chapter 17. Let's go to Leviticus, and we talk here about the blood. In Leviticus 17 and in verse 11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. So you see right here, and the word life means vital portion. So the vital portion of the flesh, everybody has flesh, right? You can all touch your flesh. The vital portion of your flesh is in the blood. Now, blood is not life, but it carries life. And life, we have to understand, is spiritual. Life is spiritual. And it must have a physical carrier. And the physical carrier is the blood. Now, what happens, what comes with life is strength. And life in the blood gives strength. And again, I said that if someone's dead, there is no more blood flowing in their body. Dead blood doesn't move. All right? And we just saw in Hebrews 12:24 that the blood of Jesus is moving. It's speaking. Not when he died and rose from the dead, today, right now, because the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means forever, his blood is speaking on your and my behalf, on your and my behalf, those of you watching and listening. Praise God for the blood. I'll tell you, I don't know where I would be without the blood of Yeshua. It is a powerful, powerful thing to understand that. Now, to have faith in the blood covenant, you must know what the blood has done and what it has purchased for you. Then and only then does it have power. From Genesis to Revelation, God speaks about blood in the whole Bible. Shed blood always has a purpose. Shed blood with no purpose is plain murder. Okay? Shed blood with no purpose is murder. But shed blood that we're going to look at on the way the Lord produces it has a purpose. And has a purpose in your life and my life. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to look at the first shedding of blood. The very, very first account of shedding of blood. Genesis 3 and in verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now, we know the account of what happened here. Basically, what happened is we know that Adam and woman sinned. Amen? And with the sin, they needed to cover themselves. And what did they do at first? They ran around making fig leaves to cover their bodies to hide from God. Now, I call that fig leaf religion. That's religion, trying to cover up. But what did God do? The first shedding of blood was done by God himself. How did coats get made for Adam and woman? By the shedding of blood of an animal or animals. And God shed the blood. And so the animal's blood was shed, and he covered the man and woman with these coats and basically covered their sin. You see the beginning here of a sin offering, the very, very first time. Now the word covenant, which is what we're looking at, it's a covenant that God makes with man through the blood. And this is the first time he did it. He cut a covenant back then. And the covenant, the word in Hebrew is karat, K-A-R-A-T. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correct. And it means to cut. It suggests an incision and a blood flow. Now, a blood covenant can never be annulled. And the blood covenant is the oldest known covenant amongst the human family. And we're going to just briefly touch on this for a few minutes so that you can understand the purpose of blood covenants. So you may have, you know, read about this in history classes, you know, when people cut covenants and they had, one person had a land, another person had a land, and, you know, they were taking over the other person's land, or there was protection, and they cut covenants. They cut it in their fingers, or and then they touched each other. It was a blood covenant. It was something that was done and sealed with the blood. And so there are three basic reasons that these blood covenants were cut. Number one is for love and devotion. That would be an expression of dedication forever. Love and devotion. Number two, it was cut for protection. The strong becoming available to the weak. It's a pretty good covenant, right? You're weak in something, somebody else is strong, you cut a covenant. Hey, something goes wrong, they're there for you, right? Number three, equality. Where the one person will not take advantage of the other, or families, or so on. Now, in all three, all that one has becomes the property and possession of the other. This is important that you understand that. All that the person has now becomes property and possession of the other. Now we're going to look at a couple of these covenants very briefly. And let's go to Genesis chapter 17. And basically, really, this is really the first covenant. This was not a covenant when God cut the skins of the animals, but this is the first shedding of blood. Let me clarify that. This was the first shedding of blood, and God did the shedding of blood. Now we come to the first covenant that God does between him and man. And we go to Genesis chapter 17, and remember, everything we're looking at has to do with the blood. We're studying the blood. And it will end up with the blood of Yeshua and his blood that keeps speaking on our behalf. In Genesis 17, and we'll look starting in verse 3. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And basically, the name Abraham means father of many nations. You know, name is very important. Verse 6, And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. Now we are talking here, of course, we know the Hebrew and the Israelite children came out of the covenant that was made with Abraham. And then he says, And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to the seed after you. Verse 8, And I will give unto you and to the seed after you the land where you are a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now right here you see the promise of the land of Israel, which extends more than what we know today of Israel, that God is making a covenant, and you're going to see how he's going to do that in just a minute, but he's saying, I am giving you this land to you and your seed after you. So those that come out from your seed, which are the children of Israel, this is their land. So what we see happening today in the world media, where Arabs are trying to get the nation of Israel to make a Palestine state in it, is really not from the Bible. But that's a whole other teaching, and I'm not doing that today. I'd love to do it, though. And so now in verse 9, God said unto Abraham, You shall keep my covenant, therefore, you and your seed after you in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Here comes the blood. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. Now here is the first blood covenant between God and man. The circumcision, all right? And he cut it, God cut it with Abraham and his descendants. Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 2. And we will see now what comes of this covenant. Now, in Exodus chapter 2, we know we're looking at the children of Israel. And they're in bondage, amen? Verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant, there it is, covenant, blood covenant, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Of course, Isaac and Jacob are the sons after them, the son and then the next child. The child of Isaac was Jacob. And there was always circumcision done. They had to have circumcision, and that was the remembrance of the covenant. Now, it's very important for you to understand the only reason, and we're going to be studying on this scripture very, very much in depth as we go into advanced intercession. The only reason that God was able to deliver the children of Israel is because of the covenant that was cut way back, we saw in Genesis, with Abraham. And it was a blood covenant. Remember, without blood, the shedding of blood, nothing can really happen with an agreement there. And remember that we said there were three things: love and devotion, protection, and equality. Powerful. Love and devotion, protection, and equality. That means when God cuts the covenant through the blood, it has to do with love and devotion for us, protection for us, and equality. And this is a very, very powerful thing to remember in our walk with the Lord. So now we see that there has been, the children of Israel cried, and because God remembered the covenant, now what happens is, and I'm not going to teach you this, but we know that on, we know it is Shavuos, which is the holiday of the giving of the law, the Torah. Many of you might know it as Pentecost. And that is the Mosaic covenant, when God now gives a covenant of the next covenant, which has to do with law, the teachings rather, which is the same word, and that is given now to the children of Israel, and that was on Mount Sinai. And what happened when God gave these teachings? He set a system of sacrifice in place, a system of, again, shedding of blood. So when there was sin in the camp and so many other things that they came and had to do for the Lord, it came through blood. And that was set up in the teachings of the Torah, the law, same word. I don't like the word law. And if you're watching, I don't like the word law because it doesn't mean law. Law means, you're underneath it. No, it's the teachings of God's freedom for us, the things that we should do and we shouldn't do. And that's what we must remember when we study. And every time you see the word law, you need to put a little line in there and say, teachings, the teachings of God. And in Hebrew, it's called the Torah, T-O-R-A-H. Amen? We need to keep our Hebraic roots here, not forget them. And so we know that the shedding of blood was taught through this Mosaic covenant now, all right? Now, today, because of Yeshua, the shedding of His blood, because of His shedding of His blood, we, you and I, can go directly to God in prayer. Now, what am I talking about? Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. You see, up until the time of Yeshua, the people could not go into the Holy of Holies. Only the priests could. The people had to hear and let the priests do the sacrificing for them. They did the blood covenant sacrificing. You would bring your offerings to the priest, but the priest would be the one that would put, you know, cut the covenant, the blood covenant for the people. Now, we have to understand that this has went on for thousands of years, this system. And it was shedding of blood. Now, we have the Messiah who comes on the scene. And He sheds His blood. And let's just look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law, or the teachings, purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or remission of sins. Very important for you to understand. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, and we're going to look at starting in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now I want to read you this in the Jewish New Testament. The same scriptures, if you don't have that, you can listen to it. And in verse, again, 19 through 22. So, brothers, we have a confidence to use the way into the holiest place, opened by the blood of Yeshua. He inaugurated it for us as a new and living way through the parochit. And the parochit means the curtain separating the holiest place from the rest of the temple. There was a curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. And nobody could go in there but the priest. And he was the one who did the offering and the shedding of the blood of the sacrifices. But now it says through Yeshua, the curtain was rent. Amen? Parochit, which is the Hebrew, the curtain was rent. And it says by the means of His flesh. So we have a great high priest over God's household. And that's something that we have to understand that's part of the blood covenant that has been cut for us now through Yeshua. Amen? Now, faith in the blood of Yeshua, the blood of Jesus, comes by knowing what His blood has done for us. And I'm going to go over a few of these things, but let's read first Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20-25, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, or the deeds again of the teachings. See, every time you see law, you must remember what it really means. By the deeds of the teachings, there shall no flesh be justified. Justified there means righteous in his sight. For by the teachings is the knowledge of sin. Now see, it's very important for us to understand, the only way you're going to know that there's something wrong, that you did something wrong, that there's teachings, that there's a sin in your life, is because we've got the Old Testament. Without the Old Testament, you wouldn't know that there's anything wrong in your life. Because we have to remember that when Yeshua spoke, when Paul wrote the epistles or anything else, he did not write Ephesians. He wrote to the Ephesians, all right? But he wasn't reading out of Ephesians. He wasn't reading out of Matthew. When Yeshua spoke, he wasn't speaking, turn to chapter 3 of Matthew. No, he was speaking Old Covenant. He was speaking Old Testament because he was living and walking, Yeshua, during Old Testament times. And so we must understand that when we look at this, many times the translations of our Bibles are not done authentically, passed down through our Hebrew roots. And it gives a misconception of what God is trying to say. So every time you see the word law, people use law. Oh, the law. I don't want to be near that. But the law is good because it's teachings. And you have to get that in your head when you read the word law. Don't look at law. Look at teachings. And they're good for me. Amen? So we see here, I'll read it again in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the teachings, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law or the teachings is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the teachings is manifested, being witnessed by the teachings and the prophets. I'm translating the word law by teachings. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Yeshua, our Messiah, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, that's God's grace, through the redemption that is in the anointed Yeshua. Verse 25, key verse in these few scriptures, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. What is this saying? Well, the word propitiation means atoning victim. Your blood sacrifice. Right here. It says God has set forth through Yeshua to be the blood sacrifice to help us, you and I, to be righteous for the remission or the forgiveness passing over of sins. Whose sins? Yeshua's? No. Mine. Yours. Only through the blood. That's how it happens. Now, I have 12 areas I want to tell you that, and there's probably more, but some areas that has, that has given you rights through the blood, through Yeshua. The blood of Yeshua or the blood of Jesus has declared what you have a right to. Things you have a right to. And you have to know that. Number one, knowing all areas that the blood has purchased for you. You have a right to know all the areas. Now I may go a little quickly, so you may have to just listen to it on the tape. Number two, knowing the authority by the blood to be the sons and daughters of God. Knowing the authority by the blood to be the sons and daughters of God. Number three, knowing the authority in the name and the blood of Yeshua, of Jesus, knowing the authority in the name and the blood of Yeshua. Number four, knowing you have a right to call God Abba. What is Abba? Father. You have a right to call God your Father, only because of the blood. Number five, knowing you have a right to get answers to prayer. So answers to prayer. Number six, knowing you have a right to get forgiveness of sins. Praise God. You have a right to get forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. And if you're there and you haven't asked the Lord in your heart, you can do that right now. You just say, Lord, come in my heart, forgive me of my sins. If you're listening by audio, you can do that too, right through the blood. Number seven, knowing you have a right to have the ever presence of the anointing. You know, without the anointing, we're nothing. The anointing, remember, is burden removing, yoke destroying. Number eight, knowing you have a right to be born again and to be, have a sound mind, to have healing. So those are three areas, being born again, have healing in all the areas of your spirit, soul, and body. Number nine, knowing you have a right to be the head and not the tail. Who are you the head and not the tail over? The enemy, that's right. The things of the world that come against us. Number 10, knowing you have a right to bind and loose. When you pray the prayers of binding and loosing, it's because of the blood that you have that right to do that. Number 11, knowing you have a right to get out of debt. Hallelujah. And have your needs met. Be prosperous. God does not want you to be in debt. God wants you to have a prosperous life. And it's because of the blood. And number 12, knowing you are righteous in right standing, that's what righteous is, being in right standing with God because of the blood of Yeshua. You can't be in right standing with God because of yourself. It's only because of the blood. Now, if we're ignorant of what the blood has done, it limits us. It limits our power. It limits our faith. You know, many times we sing these songs, you know, in congregations and church, you know, it's your blood that washes me and all this stuff you sing, or the blood, victory in the blood. Well, if you don't even know what the blood did for you, what are you singing? And if you sing where you are, if you don't know what the blood did for you, what is it doing? This is why we must know the Word of God. So important to know and understand what has the blood of Yeshua done for us. See, religion will never teach you about the blood. It'll never let you know what the blood has done for you and how you have a right to all these things. Now let's look at Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood, or being made righteous by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And because of the blood, we are protected. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. We have a better covenant than what was the covenant from the Mosaic time. We have a new covenant, a better one, a new agreement that God gave through the spotless Lamb. There was only one way that this could happen, through His Son. Amen? Hebrews chapter 8 and in verse 6. For finding fault with them, He says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And this is the new covenant that He was talking about. It has to do with the covenant of His Son. He's making a better covenant, a new covenant. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and in verse 25. And this tells us what Yeshua is doing right now. And we're going to look at this a little more in our other classes coming up. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that comes unto God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. You know what this is saying? You know what Yeshua is doing right now? He is praying for everyone. For you and me, for the lost, he is forever making intercession, standing in the gap. We're going to study more on this in the coming classes. And it's because of his blood. He pleads our case. Now, there's something that I want you to look at real brief. And his blood, we saw in the beginning, is speaking. And we're going to go back to that scripture at the close. But his blood cries out certain things. Now go to Luke 22. And we're going to take a look at five ways that the blood of Yeshua cries out. Five ways that the blood of Yeshua cries out. Luke 22 and in verse 42 to 44. It says, Father, now this is Yeshua, he's praying, Jesus. We know he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready to be captured and die on the cross. And he's saying to his Father, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, very crucial here that we see what this blood... This is the first time Yeshua actually began to sweat or have blood go into the ground. And actually, God, right here, cut a covenant with his son. Because what happened is his son was crying out to the father and saying, you know, if not my will, but your will. And he had a struggle. And who was he struggling against? He was not struggling so much in the fact that it was just him, but he was struggling against the powers of darkness, and he was getting tormented by demonic powers. Basically, he was being tormented by demons. Right here in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were talking to his mind. And it was like demonic oppression was happening here. Because the word agony means a struggle. That's the root meaning of that. And he was being tormented. Perhaps they were saying to him, oh, you don't need to do that. Why do you need to go to the cross? And you know, sometimes we can get tormented in our minds. You know, you may be tormented watching or listening. The enemy will speak to you, you know, come in the middle of the night and begin to bring up your past or tell you you're not any good. So what are you going to do when that happens? Well, let me tell you what you need to do and need to tell the enemy is right here, the blood of Yeshua fell down to the ground and it cried out freedom. Freedom from all mental torment. Freedom from mental torment, because his blood went into the ground. I keep saying that because I'm going to get to a point here. His blood went into the ground. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. So that's the first thing that the blood cries out. Freedom from mental torment, from demonic oppression. Now basically, if the enemy really knew that God had cut a covenant with the son here, that he was going to go on the cross, he would have really tried to stop him big time. But he didn't really know. Because see, he was praying to his father. And that covenant began to get cut. Matthew 27. Now here's the second way the blood cries out. Matthew 27 and in verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, And when he had scourged Jesus, or Yeshua, he delivered him to be crucified. We see here the scourging, the whipping, all right? We know that it says in 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus, Yeshua's stripes, his scourging, we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, from the whipping. Look at that a minute in your own Bible. You know, you need to memorize this scripture. I just thought of that right now. You need to know that it says in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. All right, 1 Peter 2:24. We're going to do this as a memorization scripture. And in the Old Testament, the same scripture, just so that you know it, in Isaiah 53, this scripture was a prophecy looking towards the time of Yeshua coming. Isaiah 53, 5, it says, with his stripes we are healed. So I just put that next to it. Isaiah 53, 5. But the key here is, it says you were healed. Past. This is going back, looking at the cross, at the blood that Yeshua had on the cross, but he already had the stripes before the cross. This is before the cross. So by his whippings, you were healed. So the second thing is, the blood cries out for all physical healing. Number three, let's look at Matthew 27. Now while you're turning there, just so that you know, Yeshua took 39 stripes or lashes. And we have found out through research that all diseases boil down to the roots of 39 diseases. Every disease there is, you can trace back to 39 diseases. Isn't that interesting? Hallelujah for the Lord. Matthew 27. And I want you to also, before we read this, remember that when he took the stripes, when the whippings happened, his blood went into the ground. His blood went into the ground. Matthew 27, verse 27 to 29. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Verse 29. Key here. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put a crown of thorns on his head. They put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Now, thorns symbolize the authority of Satan. That's what thorns are a symbol of. So, when that went into his head and blood began to come out, right there, the curse was broken of the devil. The curse was broken because of Jesus' blood dropped or dripped to the ground and it cried out, here's the third thing, freedom from curses. Freedom from curses. Poverty is a curse. It's a spirit. Now, we don't have time to teach on generational curses, okay? But right here, his blood went into the ground again, okay? And we know that the ground was cursed. When you look at the book of Genesis chapter 3 and you studied it, and we may look at that in a few minutes, but the ground was cursed. Go to Genesis 3 for just a moment. We'll look at it right now. We're going to go back to the New Testament. I'm going to go a little quickly. I want to get all this in. Genesis 3. And verse 17. And unto Adam he said, this is God speaking, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Here's one place it says, cursed is the ground. You shall eat of it all the days of your life. Verse 18, here it is. Thorns also and thistles shall, what? The ground bring forth. That's a curse. And that was because of the devil. And so we see here in Matthew that that curse now, the curse is broken. Go to Luke 23, and we're going to look at the fourth area. Luke 23, verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Now Jesus is hanging on the cross. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and the one on the left. Then said Jesus, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The fourth area is the blood cries forgiveness. Yeshua's blood cries forgiveness. And again, the blood went into the ground. His blood went into the ground. Go to John 19. John chapter 19. And in verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. And what is he talking about here? This is the fifth thing. It is finished. The blood has now cried out. Sacrifice is made. I have made, he says, the sacrifice. And now it's finished. And now there's jubilee. And now the dominion, I'm taking the keys back from Satan of death and hell. It is finished. That's what he said. It's done, man. It's done. Jesus did it. Hallelujah. Amen. And his blood again went into the ground. Now we need to understand that through the fall of man, the fall of Adam, Adam gave the authority of the earth back to Satan. And that was there till Yeshua came. And then we just saw here all the different areas, five areas where the blood dripped into the ground or dropped into the earth, the ground, the earth that we are on. So man was under the dominion of a curse till Yeshua shed his blood. And Yeshua's blood took the authority back from the devil, from the earth, this earth that we're on. Okay? Now this is important that you understand that. So we have here a picture that's like the blood let's see if I can, maybe I can do this real quick. I have a few minutes. I think I want to do this. Put this up here so you can see it. We have the blood. Okay, and we have in the garden there was bloodshed, right? And it went into the ground. The ground meaning our earth. All right? Let me make a line here. Let's see if we can. Now, from the garden, we saw the Garden of Gethsemane, the blood went into the ground. We're talking about Yeshua's blood. Yeshua's blood. All right? Then we have the cross. Okay? And here we have the ground again. Now, in between that, I know we had the stripes, and that went into the ground too. But I'm just making a little parallel to something here. Then Yeshua ascended to heaven. And we don't have time to read all this, but you can read it in Hebrews. I believe it's if you read chapters 8, 9, and 10, or somewhere in 9 and 10, 11, it goes in there, no, 9 and 10, where he put the blood, his blood, on the mercy seat, all right? So he went up to heaven, all right? Heaven. But we're still here on earth. aren't we? So, what happens now? Well, does everybody remember that it's, he says, as it is in heaven when you pray. Remember he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth. So his blood is still alive. His blood may be on the mercy seat in heaven, but his blood is speaking in the earth because it was dropped into the ground. And we see through the revelation of this that God has made an agreement between God and his Son, and it was sealed by the blood. And so let's look back again to Hebrews chapter 12, where we started. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. And let's read this scripture one more time. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 24. To Jesus, Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, the blood that is scattered. Where is it scattered? It's all over the ground, isn't it? It's all over. It's scattered, okay? That speaks better things than that of Abel. So that blood is speaking. Now when we begin to pray, whether it's in the Holy Ghost or whatever prayers we're praying or whatever we're talking, our sounds, our prayers are based on the blood. And what does that word speaking mean? Well, that word speaking has to do with words. And the root meaning of that word speaking is dominion, might, and power. Dominion, might, and power. So Jesus' blood is speaking dominion, might, power. Dominion, might, power. That's what it's doing. So when you begin to pray, the blood of Jesus covers me, the blood of Jesus covers my family, what is it doing? It's speaking dominion. It's speaking power. It's speaking authority. It's speaking victory. It's speaking redemption. It's speaking rule, all right? It's speaking wholeness. By his stripes I am healed. When you pray that over your healing of your body, it's not just by stripes I'm healed, by stripes I'm healed. It's his blood. His stripes took your healing. The blood was shed, went into the ground. You're in this earth suit. You're on this ground. Okay, you got to walk in this thing, in this earth suit, till we go to the Lord. Amen? But at the same time, we have the authority in his name to use the name and the blood for our healing, for our dominion, for our protection. I don't care what terrorist or what they say is out there. When you know the authority of the blood, nothing can touch you. Nothing. Hallelujah. Nothing. Now, do you realize that Jesus had the blood of the Father? How many of you know that? Jesus had the blood of the Father. And I don't know if you know, but you know how you determine a child's blood type? By the blood of the Father. Amen? Now when we come to the Lord, he becomes our Father. Jesus is like our brother. Amen? And we have God, our Father. So our blood type is no longer the blood type of our earthly fathers. We have the blood type of Yeshua. Because we are spirit. You get born again. You receive the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Your blood type in the spirit realm has changed. Amen? Amen? As it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth. Who's on the earth? I am. You are. So your blood type is coming from heaven into the earth. Your blood type is coming into you from the Lord. Amen? And what is that blood doing? It's speaking dominion, power, authority, healing. Amen? It has a voice. Hallelujah. It has a voice to do everything that it needs to do for you and for me. So every time you pray and every time you use the blood, and you need to use the blood, brothers and sisters, and those of you watching and listening, you need to use the blood every day. I do not go out of my house or go in my car without pleading the blood of Yeshua, the blood of Jesus, over myself and over my possessions. Why? We are in a war, and the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he cannot penetrate the blood. He cannot penetrate the blood. It is like putting steel armor around you, your family, and everything else. So praise God for the blood of Yeshua. And I pray that if you're watching and you're listening, that you got a revelation of the blood. Use the blood, because there's power in the blood.